Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
On the first night of their American tour, will you please welcome the Rolling Stones?
All right, welcome back to the show. Shane and Bruce with you here on a Wednesday Sports Daily. Quite a bit of baseball talk in first segment. The Royals take care of the White Sox in first game of their series. That series continues tonight at the south side of Chicago. You can hear it right here on KFH. The deadline, one of them anyway, has come and gone. And so we will find out now who the winners and losers are or were. RJ Anderson from CBSSports.com joins us on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. RJ, welcome back to the show. How you been?
I've been well. How about yourself?
We're doing okay. Interesting to watch all the moves yesterday. What stuck out to you, RJ, about who did what or maybe didn't make moves? What surprised you?
Well, I think the first thing that surprised me was the New York Mets standing pat. You know, I can understand not trading Jacob deGrom or Noah Syndergaard until maybe the winter, if you even trade them then. However, the Mets had other pieces they could have moved, and I mean, we can name off guys like Zach Wheeler. We can name off guys like Devin Masaroko, Jose Bautista. There is just no excuse for total inactivity. And the Mets have a very weird power structure in place right now. They have a three-headed monster at GM because of Sandy Alderson's leave of absence. And it just seems like an absolute mess of a situation, even more so than usual for that franchise. And, yeah, if you're a Mets fan, you have to be very disappointed that the deadline came and went without New York at least swapping out a guy like Bautista. They picked up for nothing earlier this year for a flyer. You know, that team's not competitive. They're not going to be competitive no matter what they did at the deadline. And it's just a whole, you know, circus and disappointing series of events for a team that really didn't need anything more disappointing coming out of the year.
RJ, what about the Nationals and the thought, obviously, that the dynamic is obviously there within the walls of that clubhouse? There have been reports that that clubhouse has been somewhat dysfunctional. So I find it interesting that there at least wasn't some kind of stirring of the stick and mixing things up a little bit. But were you surprised with the inactivity at the nation's capital?
Well, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because the one deal they did make sent Brandon Kinsler to the Cubs. And, you know, there's a story in the Washington Post that they traded Kinsler in part because they believe he was one leaking information to the press about the clubhouse dynamics.
Oh,
so,
boy.
It kind of makes you wonder, you know, what does Kinsler stand to gain from misrepresenting that clubhouse? You know, he's not going to get more favorable press because he's an average middle reliever, and those guys don't tend to get press at all. So it does seem like there's a messy situation brewing in Washington. And while I understand their desire to go for it and, you know, try to make the most of what's likely to be Bryce Harper's last few months in D.C., it just raises a lot more questions than it answers, and it's going to continue to be a story, you know, whether they like it or not, because this deal, again, it raises those more questions than it answers.
The Orioles unloaded Manny Machado, Zach Britton, Jonathan Scope, Kevin Gausman, Brad Brock, Darren O'Day, but not Adam Jones. He elected to stay. In sifting through what you know about what the Orioles got in return, they were obviously totally in sell mode, and why not? They're 40-some games out of first place in the East and just a dumpster fire. Did they get a good return on the players that they got rid of, do you think?
They got an interesting return. I believe they got something like 15 players in return, and at the top of those players is Yasmeel Diaz, who they got in the Machado deal. He has the chance to be an average or above-average corner outfielder heading forward. Something else they did in those deals is that they acquired a fair amount of international bonus pool money, and the Orioles historically have been a team who doesn't actually dip into the international amateur market. So the rumor out there is they're going to sign Victor Mesa, who's coming from Cuba and is going to be a pretty good prospect. And if they do that, you know, suddenly it seems like a new day in Baltimore where they're actually paying attention to you know, adding amateur talent by using their, you know, financial might instead of just passing and, you know, trading those slots for fringe big leaguers. I mean, they had a guy last night start, Jeffrey Ramirez. Well, how did they acquire him? By trading some of the bonus pool money in past years to bigger market teams who were willing to actually spend it on amateurs rather than just hoard it. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. They didn't get any slam dunk, you know, top prospects beyond Diaz, but at the same time, they did add a whole wave of new blood to their organization, and it's hard to say the farm system isn't better today than it was yesterday. At the same time, you know, that was not a good farm system to begin with, so they have a lot of work to do, and we're probably talking about a 3 to 5 year project here, not a quick Yankees-like turnaround.
RJ Anderson with us from CBSSports.com. We're talking the aftermath of the trade deadline. Let's go to the National League West. How much of a bump do the Dodgers and the D-backs with their moves get over the Rockies and the Giants, who tend to stand a little bit more pat, if you believe the Giants are still in it? The Rockies are certainly in it. How much did the Dodgers and the D-backs move forward at the deadline?
You know, the Dodgers probably made the flashiest move by acquiring Manny Machado, and I think that was a big boost for them for a few reasons. You know, number one, you're getting an MVP-caliber player to add to your lineup. Number two, you keep him away from every other contender in the National League, because if you remember, basically all the teams who were serious about adding Machado were within the National League. You know, the Brewers, even the Diamondbacks had interest in him. So, you know, those two factors make that a huge deal for them. As far as the Diamondbacks, I actually thought they probably had the best unheralded deadline. They didn't add anyone, you know, who's a household name, but Eduardo Escobar is huge for them because they needed an offensive boost, especially up the middle. And they made a couple of really smart moves in the bullpen. You know, Matt Andrews was picked up for basically nothing. He's a versatile pitcher. He belongs on a big league staff, and he could conceivably slot in as a starter down the road because he has years of team control remaining. Jake Diekman is very interesting. You know, look for them to alter his pitch usage a little bit because he's got a wipeout slider. Question is whether he'll throw enough strikes to be a high leverage guy for them. And I know they made another move that I'm blanking on right now, but
Brad Ziegler. Really they got Brad Ziegler back. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been very good since going to a chiropractor earlier this year. And at minimum, you know, he gives him another look out of the bullpen, kind of a right hand specialist at this point in his career. But, you know, if you mix and match, that's a valuable asset to have.
RJ Anderson talking trade deadline, talking Major League Baseball. Bruce and I kicked this around a little bit yesterday. The Blue Jays rid themselves of Roberto Osuna. So does that, by addition, by subtraction, make them a winner at the deadline? Because now any potential problem is the Astros' problem.
Well, I'd rather not talk about an issue like domestic violence in terms of winners and losers because it's an unfortunate situation. And, you know, it's not a Blue Jays problem, it's not an Astros problem, and it's not really a baseball problem, it's a societal problem. You know, as a culture, we have issues with domestic violence. We don't take it serious enough, we don't do enough to prevent it, we don't do enough to recognize, you know, how heinous the crime is. So, you know, I'm not going to say the Blue Jays won that deal, and I'm not going to say the Astros lost or anything like that. I'm just going to say, as a society, we're worse off for, you know, having this be an issue and, you know, for framing it in this, you know, in the sense, you know, just because a guy can throw a baseball well doesn't mean we should forgive him for doing something heinous to another individual like Osuna seemingly did. So, you know, it's just an unfortunate incident all the way around. And, you know, I hope we learn from it as a society and we get to a point where no one commits acts like this against another person.
Fair enough.
I think we second that notion to be sure. All right. Of course, right in our wheelhouse, the Kansas City Royals, who may be the franchise that everyone least wants to be right now. Where do you see them at this particular point? Were you surprised that did they do about everything that they possibly could have done at the deadline, in your estimation, and where do they sit now moving forward based on what they've done to this point?
Yeah, they have a long road back before they're competitive again. I think the only thing they could have done that they didn't do was perhaps trade Whit Merrifield, who I think at this point is their top trade chip. You know, he's an above-average second baseman, and, you know, there are reasons to not trade him, and it has to do with, you know, building as good of a product as they possibly can at this point, but I think there are a lot of reasons to trade him, including the fact that he's older than your typical, you know, second, third-year player. And so, I think that's a discussion they have to have. They also need to discuss whether they should trade Salvador Perez, because realistically, you know, with the mileage that's already on him and, you know, with his age and all, and even the contract situation, he's probably not going to be around the next time the Royals are confident. So, you know, those are hard discussions. I certainly understand why you don't want to rush out there and, you know, go scorched earth with your roster, but I think they need to at least broach those topics come winter. And no, I don't think there's anything else they could have really done outside of those two. It, you know, it's a bad roster. Y'all know that. And the farm system's right. Not in good position either. So, again, it's going to be a long road back. But you know what? They won the World Series a couple years ago. They reached two consecutive World Series. And sometimes, you know, that's the price you pay, having a down cycle after a very, very competitive few seasons.
I thought it was interesting, and Bruce and I talked about this before you came on, RJ, that Dayton Moore, their GM, basically in 2014, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, did and said what Mike Rizzo did and said to the Nationals. I think we're good enough right now, so we're not really going to do anything. You guys just need to play better. Is that pretty much the message that Rizzo gave to Washington, and do you believe that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair to say. And the Nationals on paper have a very talented roster. I will say there's one wrinkle in there, and again, this comes by the Washington Post. They had a report yesterday, Jorge Castillo did, that Rizzo had deals lined up for Harper and other veterans, but that ownership squashed them overnight. So kind of interesting that Rizzo went out there and said that, because it's possible that, yeah, he does believe in the team, but it's also possible that his belief stretched only so far and that he was willing to hit the reset button in light of those deals that were on the table. So I think the Nationals still have a chance to win that division. You know, they're a good team on paper. I don't think they've played their best baseball yet, and it wouldn't surprise me if they find their way to the postseason as division winners. At the same time, you know, it's August 1st, and we're still talking about them, you know, in this frame. So, I don't know. It's getting a little late for my comfort. And to be clear, I had them in the World Series preseason, so I'm feeling a little stupid right now because of that.
Yeah, I don't think you're the only one, RJ. I think a lot of people probably felt that way. All right, final one from me. I'm interested in the dynamic of a Chris Archer going to Pittsburgh. Not so much Chris Archer going to Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh being a buyer here instead of a seller. You've got a dynamic where Pittsburgh sees themselves as one kind of squad. The St. Louis Cardinals, who are right there and are basically interchangeable with the Pirates in the same division, for goodness sakes, see themselves maybe in not the same light. How much did that surprise you that Archer goes to Pittsburgh and that Pittsburgh is apparently going all in on their chances this year?
Yeah, I was very surprised by both of those teams, honestly. With Pittsburgh, I don't know if it's just a matter of them viewing themselves as contenders this year or if they're viewing Archer as a positive arbitrage situation. And what I mean by that is, you know, this is a guy who has kind of underperformed the past few seasons. We all think of him as the front of the rotation arm, but when you look at his numbers, he's been closer to a league average / middle of the rotation guy. So, you know, Ray Searidge has one of the best reputations in baseball as a pitching coach. Maybe they think that he can get Archer there, get him, you know, back to his old ways of being a front of the rotation guy. And if so, not only would they benefit from his pitching, they could potentially look to flip him at some point and probably get more than they gave up. With regards to the Cardinals, I was really surprised at what they got back for Tommy Pham, because, you know, a year ago, Pham was basically an MVP conversation because of how well he played. Yesterday, they gave him up for a really light package. I mean, we're talking about potentially a platoon bat, a left-handed reliever, and Genesis Cabrera, who, you know, honestly, based on what scouts have said, does have good upside, but they just believe he's probably going to end up in a bullpen. And then a friend's reliever, that's not really going to help the Cardinals this year or next. So it was interesting to see them basically give away Pham. And like you said, you know, the dynamic is there where those are two similar teams in the same division and everything, and yet one's banking on upside and the other is kind of taking a step back and saying, okay, we need to retool, perhaps even rebuild a little bit. So very surprised by both of those teams, and I'm curious to see what each of them do this winter, if they continue down the path they set out yesterday or if maybe they'll tweak something else, because you never know. I mean, a month ago, we would not have expected to be talking about Chris Archer as a member of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
RJ Anderson, CBSSports.com, talking Major League Baseball. And finally, RJ, did the Nationals fans at least have a little chuckle and be able to put their feet up last night after they were up 19-0 after five innings against the Mets, coming off a deadline where they did very little? It's like, all right, finally, something going our way.
Right. Maybe Brandon Kinsler really was weighing them down. That was the boat race to end all boat races.
25-4 was the final. The Mets ended up getting 3 in the ninth after they fell behind 25-1. RJ, appreciate you joining us again. The information was great. Thanks so much for the visit.
Thanks, RJ.
Thank you.
So tonight, in the American League, I think the Astros and the A's, there's at least one decent matchup that was last night that will affect the pennant races. Astros and the Mariners, that's it. They play this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Keuchel and LeBlanc will go at 3 o'clock this afternoon. That's really the big one in the American League. And the Brewers and the Dodgers in the National League, after they played a 1-0 game last night, they play tonight at Chavez Ravine, Chase Anderson and Rich Hill. So there's a couple of teams going head-to-head where it kind of matters. Rockies Cardinals, I guess, would qualify too. 7:15 tonight, Kyle Freeland, Luke Weaver as the Cardinals. You know, as RJ.
Have you got to watch Kyle Freeland at all?
I haven't seen him throw one pitch this year. His numbers look good.
He's nice, Shane. I'm telling you, man. He's
good for him.
He's good. If he can get out of the first, it takes him a little time to gain some traction. But if he gets out of the first in good shape, man, he's off and going. He's almost automatic to get you to the sixth.
All right.
His stuff is good.
Good deal.
Really good.
All right. Want to let you know that Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin coming in November to Intrust Bank Arena. If you're a metalhead and you like these guys and you want to see them, I got a chance before you can even buy the tickets. 869-1240. Got a pair of tickets for you to see Five Finger Death Punch and Breaking Benjamin November 3rd in Trust Bank Arena. Twitter question coming up next. Shane and Bruce, Sports Daily.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.